This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Just as a side note, before we start this conversation, we did reach out to the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy, and that would be the office of Minister Gweda Mantashe, just to get their side of the story. We haven't heard from them, so they will not be part of this conversation. I'm sure probably they would say, as politicians famously do, it's sub judice, and we are still reading the papers. I hope that my guest, Aldworth Mbalati, founder and chief executive of DNG Power Holdings, will not say it's sub judice. Good morning, Aldworth. Welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning. How are you? And good morning to all the listeners today.
Thank you for making time to join us. Perhaps before we get to the meat of the matter, let's start this way. DNG Power Holdings, what does it do and how did it find itself entangled in the emergency power procurement issue?
Hey, when you start talking about entanglement issues, it is... Look, DNG Power is a subsidiary of DNG Energy, and DNG Energy is one of the leading LNG infrastructure development companies on the continent. We are black-owned, and we believe in empowering Africa. So our theme is always, let Africans do it for themselves. And that is what we have been doing for the last 8 years in terms of developing ourselves in various countries on this continent. So you ask, how did we get ourselves entangled? That's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
As you know, we've got a serious power crisis in South Africa. We need to solve load shedding. And government came up with a good initiative to say, look, let us power up and close the gap.
Yeah.
Let us procure power on an emergency basis. In August last year, they came up with a request for proposals for anyone who could be supplying power up to 2,000 megawatts. And as DNG, we bid on 1,350 megawatts of power. Mm. And I think we were the largest bidder in terms of the number of megawatts in the program. We bid for three sites. One in Komati Port, one in Malelan, one in Kuha. And they were going to use natural gas or LNG, and we were going to use reciprocating engines. So we
exceed... Maybe let's explain what those are.
Look, a reciprocating engine is like a big engine that that you use. So this program had what we call dispatchability. You needed to be able to dispatch. So when everyone wakes up in the morning and takes a shower, puts on the kettle, put on the TV to watch the news, there's what we call a demand spike. And you need to be able to dispatch power and make sure that it can get into the system as quick enough. Mm. And sometimes weather is unpredictable. What happens when there is no wind blowing? Or there is no sun shining and the renewables are not able to supply power at that time. You need something that is going to kick in and be able to power up. So that is what a reciprocating engine does on a large scale, to be able to balance the grid and augment the renewables that are part of our system.
Now, let's get to close to the matter. I know this is before the courts, but you have actually deposed an affidavit.
Correct.
Before the courts, crying foul about the process that was followed. Can you just take us through to the key issues that you are raising, which some of them have now become part of the media discourse?
Look, in order for you to have an emergency program and which is credible, you are not looking for a developer that is going to still develop a project, right? It is someone that can offer you a solution that is ready to go. And the rules of the game when the RFQ came out, they were good.
That's the request for proposals.
Yes, the request for proposals. It was good, right? They said, if you're going to be supplying LNG, you need to have all your permits in place. You need to have your land in place. You need to be able to deploy your power within a short period of time. And what then subsequently happened after that is that the rules were changed. No, you don't need to have your LNG permits in place. No, you don't need to have your port infrastructure permits in place. No, you don't need to have a few other things in place. Lowering the bar to such an extent that it became clear that the lowering of the bar is not intended to aid the program. It is actually working against the program, and it is actually precluding others. And you then retrospectively say that has, from the onset, if the bid document in itself was lowered and was made to be that way when it was originally issued, other parties could have bid. So you have prejudiced other parties, right, who could have decided that they could meet the requirements because they have been lowered all of a sudden. And we're not saying that we are the best in the market. We're saying that we have a credible solution. So the fact that you have prejudiced other parties that could have offered a great solution for South Africa, that on its own is wrong.
But there's also something else that is wrong that you allege, that the date of the deadline was actually postponed at the 11th hour, and your bid had already been submitted to the department.
Look, what there are two issues there. I hope I remember the dates correctly. On the 30th of October, you had to submit what we call your intention to bid, right? And in your intention to bid, you had to disclose some sensitive information in terms of what site you're bidding on, the megawatts that you're bidding on.
Some scope in some, terms of correct. What you'd meet in the specifications and all of that.
Correct. So our gripe is, if that is the case, why do you do an extension an hour before that, an hour before the time closes? You could have done that in the morning. You are further prejudicing parties in terms of them prematurely disclosing information that they shouldn't have disclosed in the first place. And then and also allowing other parties at the end of the day to get into the race in terms of what is the competition that we are faced with, so that potentially you, if the systems are not good enough, obviously you start the scope for unfairness in the process.
Someone might say that becomes an issue only if you doubt the integrity of the people who are presiding over the process. Is that what you are suggesting?
I am not suggesting that. I am not here to cast aspersions on people's characters. I am here to say, look at the facts. The facts on the table are, this whole process was fraught with things that are quite suspect in the process in terms of any... We hold the IPP office in high regard. We believe that it is an institution of great integrity. So we have no issue in terms of that. We are saying that... however, we are saying that the changes that have been made in the program itself, those changes are irrational in their approach. They do not augur well for us, and they do not merit the great reputation that the IPP office carry.
Absolutely, you can have the greatest of respect for the office, but once you say submitting prematurely and then there's an extension, the only thing one can read is you are scared somebody's going to disclose your information to allow somebody to bid better.
Look, let me answer it this way. In the past, the IPP office used to be the final arbiter in terms of the decision of who won a bid. However, the strange thing about this round is that the final decision was taken away from the IPP office, and the decision was taken at the ministry level. So if you then have separation of the final decision, and you're taking it away from the person that is best suited in terms of making that decision, and you move it to a different segment of government to make that decision, it allows for potential manipulation in terms of the results that ultimately come out.
After this short break, I'm going to talk about that very meeting you had at one particular restaurant, which I found quite intriguing and unsurprising for a reason I will disclose after this short ad break.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Well, 21 minutes past 10 this morning here on Power Talk, looking at a looming court battle between the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy and DNG. The DNG, of course, Power Holdings, was one of the bidders in the emergency procurement from independent power producers. They seem to be aggrieved about the manner in which the process was handled from the very onset in terms of postponement of deadline right at the 11th hour, questions around the process. And now we are going to go to some thing that happened. There was a meeting, and if you do want to put a question to my guest Aldworth Mbalati, that line is 0861 987 000. Aldworth, there is a restaurant which has been named, so if I have a cream in Pretoria, where you allege, it seems, the restaurant had been booked out on that particular day. It's unsurprising to me because I've been to that restaurant. And you know, when you look around, I do a lot of people watching. So when I do people watching, I'm looking for all sorts of body language and mannerisms. And I've sort of seen that, you know what? Something is cooking here. Tell us about that meeting. You haven't named the people who were involved, but you name that there is a senior official from the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy that joined that meeting.
Correct. So this is where I exercise my right to say that it is sub judice.
A typical political response.
No, but it is. The intention is not to... not answer. Definitely, I am willing to come and ventilate this at a later date in great detail.
But just give us a picture about that meeting. What was the meeting like? Who convened it, and what was discussed?
It is sub judice. The meeting, in essence, was how can we help you? And that is how far I am prepared to go in terms of answering that statement.
Who are the characters involved?
These are characters that are in a position of influence and who potentially have the ability to make the right decisions. So it is not something that we are stringing up in terms of saying that it is just a Joe Soap from the street who has no material bearing in terms of what the potential outcome can be.
A person listening in, Aldworth, might say, why should I believe you then if you are just going to say, well, sub judice, which I understand, but why should they believe you? And have you gotten a response from the ministry in terms of the papers you filed?
Look, you don't have to believe us. The fact of the matter is that we have put our reputation on the line in terms of taking this action. We have deposed an affidavit, and we're here sitting with you ventilating the issue. So for us, the fact that we have put our reputation on the line should be fact enough that what we are seeing, we are seeing. So we will take this process to its successful end, because we believe in our country and we believe in the future of this country, and we want to see it thrive and succeed.
That question, how can we help you, is very suggestive, if I may say. In fact, in one article done by Amabungane, it is said there, that a businessman with close ties to the minister last July, a month before the department actually published the bid, the businessman, whom you have not named, allegedly told you that the tender would soon be released and that the outcome would be predetermined. Is that true?
If I've deposed that in the affidavit, it is true. So whatever I have deposed in the affidavit, I stand by it as a fact.
I mean, this is serious, and it has potential to delay the process of uptake from this emergency procurement and further threaten the vulnerable grid of South Africa. That surely is not your intention. But I suppose if that is the natural consequence, then let it be, you say.
No, that's not what I'm saying. We are pro-South African. Every time you don't have power in this country, jobs are lost, and we are not people in vacuum. We are not numbers. We are not a population of 60 million. We are brothers. We are sisters. We are mothers. We are fathers. These are real lives that we have at stake. These are people that contribute to the well-being of our economy. So we are not prepared to, at all cost, derail the process. All we are asking for is that, can the process be reviewed in such a manner that those who won fairly get their fair share? That is all we're saying. If after a review we get nothing, it is okay. Then whoever has won, let them win. So our intention is us being pro-South African. And at the same time, there's a second element to it. Money must not be made at all cost, in a sense that if I am corrupt, I have no right to be earning that money, because ultimately you're not doing proper capital formation, you're not saving that money, you're not building the economy further. We are saying that we have a high unemployment rate in this country, and the only way that you start solving issues like that is start doing things right. Apply the basics, do your basics correctly, and things will move. So we are pro seeing the right outcome.
I suppose you might not have come here with your cell phone just in case I say I want to see that SMS you talk about, which I quote, it says, "We've got some intel," which would be intelligence, "from the main principal's wife that our requested extension has been under consideration and they might offer bidders 3-week delay in submission and it should be announced imminently." I mean, if you indeed got that SMS, why is it that at that very moment this was happening, you did not interdict the process?
It is a very good question. We did voice out some of the concerns that we have had with the process to the IPP office during the bidding process. When the briefing notes were happening and were changing, we did voice out our concerns. So we did not sit and wait and say that, no, everything is hunky-dory. Yes, we believed in our capability of winning. However, if you look at the full record of the misgivings that we recorded, they are there in black and white.
Had you won, would you have taken this course?
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good, honest question. I honestly doubt that we would have done that. And it raises another question.
Yep.
When you say that, would you have done that? And I don't want to sit in front of you and say to you that, yes, and act all the better. The answer is, if I look deep down in my heart, the answer is, I don't think I would have done that. And then it raises a question, do you have sour grapes? No, I don't have sour grapes. I know that when you're watching football and someone scores a goal and you say, but this, he had touched the ball.
Offside.
Exactly, it was offside. Mm. It is a legitimate concern. It is a legitimate cry. We operate in a very difficult environment.
But the striker takes the goal and takes the 3 points.
Correct. And if someone can appeal and say, but Mr. Ref, this guy, he touched the ball.
He'll protest that he didn't.
He will protest that he didn't, but he touched it, right? And the very matter of it is that if Mr. Ref says, linesman, did you see anything? And he says, yes, I saw. He touched the ball. Then, okay, fine. It's not a goal. I'm not awarding that goal.
So have you made this application to the courts as an urgent application? As you have said, you do want people to have power. You do want the grid to be secure and its integrity maintained.
Yes, it is for that very reason. To say, let's resolve this as quickly as possible. We have no intention of dragging it out. Let's resolve this as... Mbalati plays no equation in this in this greater scheme of things. We're just a service provider. We are there to serve people. So we cannot live contrary to the values that we espouse, to say that we want to bring you clean energy, and at the same time we are the ones who are contributing to your problem.
Any word from the minister or the IPP's office?
Well, I am sure that they will be responding in their court papers. They have issued a statement, as you know, that they will be filing their
opposing affidavit.
So we have heard from them from that basis.
Okay.
That they will be fighting.
Okay. Aldworth Mbalati, thank you so much for making time for us here on Power Talk.
Thank you so much.
That is that is founder and chief executive of DNG Power Holdings on their matter, asking for review in the emergency procurement from independent power producers.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.